Hello, everyone, and welcome to Mosaic House Church Online Worship. Let's cut to the chase, shall we? Please pause me and then bring your Bible. You may open your Bible apps on your phone, on your computer, or bring your hard copy Bible just laying around somewhere in your house. You got five copies, maybe. Bring it and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 29. Chapter 29. Pause me and I'll wait for you. Okay, you're back. Let's get to it. Acts what? Chapter 29, 27, 28. Hey, hang on. There is no chapter 29 in the book of Acts. Correct. I just set you up, didn't I? The book of Acts, through which we have been journeying together for this current present sermon series, it ends rather abruptly on the 28th chapter. The last chapter in the book is 28. There is no 29. Like I said, I set you up. And here's the reason. The book ends with a surprising, abrupt ending. And that's because the author of the book, who is the Dr. Luke, who was moved by the Holy Spirit, he came to this ending of the book that was not satisfying to you, to me. To say the least, it does not do justice to the story of the book of Acts. I'll get to that in a bit. But for now, let's get to the very ending of the book of Acts, which is chapter 28, verses 30 and 31. Shall we read it together? Hear the word of the Lord. For two whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all the boldness and without hindrance. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. Holy Spirit, you are the author of the scripture, the Bible. So would you please shed a light on us as to why you ended the book of Acts the way you did? And more importantly, help us to see how you are writing the very end of the book in and through us. And we pray this to the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Friends, I am thankful that you are here. Christians, disciples of Christ, followers of Jesus Christ, and just as importantly, those of you who are seeking the truth, those of you who are being led to the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, my prayer today is that you stick with me and use your imagination through the scripture and find out what God is calling you and me to be and to do. All right? Now, here's the backdrop of the very, very end of the book of Acts. The Apostle Paul, before he became a follower of Jesus Christ, he was a persecutor of the church. He hated Jesus. He hated the Christians. But Christ appeared before him. Paul became a follower of Jesus Christ. And then for the rest of his life, he went around telling everyone, Jesus is alive, there's hope in him, and there's power in him, and there's joy in Jesus, and your life will be blessed. Your life is what? Your life is blessed when you are in Jesus Christ and he in your life. And for that, he got arrested, and he was being sent to Rome to stand before Caesar for a trial. He is experiencing all kinds of trials and tribulations and persecution because of that. So much so, at the end of the book of Acts, he is shipwrecked. And by God's intervention, he and all of his companions on the ship are rescued. And they're on this island. They're saved. And then he is bitten by a snake. And people thought he was going to die. And then he goes to Rome to Rome as a prisoner in chains. And he is to stand before Caesar for this trial. Okay, now, and then the story ends. How? Every day, for the next 2 years, Paul has been in a house arrest. He is imprisoned in a house, and there's a guard, a soldier standing right next to him. He has no freedom. He can't go anywhere. And what does he do for the next two years? People come to him, and he welcomes him, and he proclaims the kingdom of God, and he begins to teach everyone about the person, the hope, and the blessing of Jesus Christ. And that's the end of the story. You go, huh? That's it? That's it? That's the end? We don't find out what happens to Paul. Does he get his head chopped off? Is he rescued? Do the followers, disciples of Christ, turn the world upside down? Do they overcome the Roman Empire and move Jesus' movement? We don't get to hear any of that. And you're saying, huh, what a strange ending. That's right. Friends, every good story has a good ending. Am I right? Yes. Every good story, every good novel, every good fiction, every good movie has a good ending. Throughout the story, the tension has been building up, right? And somehow, at the very end, the conflict is resolved. That's a good ending. At the end, you find out that your hero prevails, right? That's a good ending. At the end, you find out that good triumphs and the evil is defeated. That is a good ending. A good ending brings about satisfaction to the reader. But in this book, in the book of Acts, we have none of these. It's like, what a strange, abrupt, unsatisfying ending. It's as if the story is unfinished. And friends, that's exactly it. The author of the book of Acts is Dr. Luke, a companion of the Apostle Paul. We also know from the Bible, this is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is God-breathed. And in the book of Peter's, we find out that no prophecy has come by the will of the prophet or the men who wrote the Bible. Instead, they were moved, inspired, led by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. The Holy Spirit is the author of the book of Acts. So here's the question. Why does the Holy Spirit, the author of the book, end with a such unsatisfying ending and an abrupt ending with this feel of unfinished story? Well, would you like to know? Would you like to know? I want to know. Here's what Paul Tribilico says. He is a New Testament scholar. He writes, and I read, the crucial point is that the ending of Acts is a non-ending. It is not an ending at all. Why not? Because Luke intended a different ending, not one that he would write, but one that the Holy Spirit would write in the life of the church. Did you catch that? It feels unfinished. It feels incomplete. It sounds something is missing, and that's because there is the next chapter, Acts chapter 29, hence my title of the sermon. Acts 29, the next chapter. I believe with all my heart, I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit, the author of the Bible, wants to finish the book of Acts by writing you and me in it. He wants to complete the story. He wants to bring about the resolution to the conflict. He wants everyone to know that the story ends on a triumphal note with a satisfaction because he is writing chapter 28, the next chapter, the best ending ever, because you are in it and I am in it. The story of the book of Acts is that of the ultimate divine blessing. It begins with the blessing of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. The Bible declares, the story goes, that God came down in the person of Jesus Christ, one and only Son of the Lord God Almighty. And He loves you. He loves me. He has the power and the sovereignty to change, transform not only your heart, your spirit, my spirit, but He has the power and the sovereign will to transform the entire world, the history of humanity and mankind. And He wants you to be blessed. He wants me to be blessed. So we began this series, Bless, B-L-E-S-S. Church in action, followers of Jesus Christ, the disciples of Christ, in action. You are blessed to be a blessing. Let me repeat that. Every Christian, every man and woman who follows Jesus Christ as his her Lord and Savior, you are blessed. And the blessing of God does not end with you. Listen to me. God's blessing in your life is a continuation of a bigger, further blessing. And what is that blessing? You are blessed to be a blessing to others. Because we are blessed, God calls us to be a blessing unto your friends, your neighbors, and your colleagues, and everyone around you. Because Jesus is the hope of the world. Jesus is the blessing that everyone is desperate for, everyone is yearning for, everyone is looking for, even though they may not know it. Do you know anyone who is wrestling with mental health issues? I know some people. I do. This is what the sociologists call the pandemic blues. Every one of us, I think, has been affected by this to some degree, right? Have you felt depressed in the last 17, 19 months? Yes, you have. Have you felt unsure about the future? Have you felt insecure about what lies ahead? Yes, and because of that, there has been anxiety, stress in your life. I felt it, you felt it, and you certainly know somebody who has. And Jesus says, come to me, let me give you rest. Come to me, let me give you security. Do you know anyone in your life who is struggling with meaning and purpose? I know I do. There are people in my life whom I love dearly, and it breaks my heart. They haven't discovered the meaning and purpose of life. They're searching for it everywhere, but they haven't found it because they have not come to Jesus. I pray for them daily. I pray for some of you daily. And it hurts, it aches my heart. But more importantly, you are affected by this. And Jesus says, I am the way, I am the life, I am the truth. Come to me, and I give you the meaning and purpose. You will feel so fully alive. Do you know anyone who has struggled in the recent months, because of they feel alone and lonely? Do you know anyone? Maybe you are that person. How do you fill that void? What have you done? And has that worked? Jesus says, let me give you peace. Let me give you joy. Let me fill your void. Jesus is the hope of the world. Jesus is the blessing that everyone is looking for. Do you know anyone? Do you know anyone who has been financially struggling? I know someone. This person feels the burden of the financial responsibilities for himself and for his family and for his children, and he is working day and night. But this is what's so sad. At the end of the day, after all those hours of working and laboring and burdening, he still has no financial security. There seems like not enough. And Jesus says, let me take care of you. I am the living bread. I am the living water. I will take care of you because my Father in heaven, he owns everything. Let God, let the Lord, Heavenly Father, be your protector and provider. Do you know anyone who has been struggling in their marriages? About 40% of all the marriages in Canada ends up in a divorce. 40%, 40%. Okay? Every year in 2020, this is last year, you know how many divorces there were in Canada? Just about 3 million. That's just shy of 10% of the entire population. And Jesus says, let me bring peace and health and unity in your marriage. Because I can be the head of the household for the husband and for the wife. Let me be your protector and your provider. Friends, I need Jesus. That's right. I need his blessing every day. I do. I pray every day with my wife. And I receive his blessing each day, every day. And when I do, even though when I go through the stress, I feel overwhelmed, and I am feeling the burden of all the responsibilities, and I feel alone and lonely, and Jesus' presence and his blessings, they make a difference in my life. And this is Jesus' story in my life. He wants me and he wants you to share the blessing of Jesus Christ with everyone with whom you come in contact. You are blessed to be a what? To be a blessing. And this is my calling and this is your calling. So, would you partner with the Holy Spirit to write Acts chapter 29? Would you like to be in the ending? Would you like your name to be mentioned in the book of life? Would you like people to see, I receive the blessings of Jesus Christ through Christina, through Victor, through YJ, through Herman, through Peter? Wouldn't that be a wonderful, wonderful blessing for you? Because you are blessed to be a blessing. And in this series, we said, here's how the Holy Spirit is calling us to be a blessing to others, right? How do you spell the word bless? B-L-E-S-S. B stands for begin with prayer. L, listen. E, eat. S, serve. S, story. Share your story. So allow me to just take you through the book of Acts, just one last time as we conclude the current series today. Begin with prayer. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, in verse 1 and 2, here's what the Holy Spirit writes in the story. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. You know what they're doing when they were together? The book of Acts, the story begins with the coming, the unleashing of the power of the Holy Spirit. And it happened as they were in one place and they were praying. They began with prayer. In the upper room. Jesus says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the promised gift, whom I will send from the Father. And when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will receive power, and you will be my witnesses, all of Jerusalem, all of Judea, all of Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth. That's how the story begins in the book of Acts. And it began with the followers of Jesus Christ praying. What did they pray for? Lord Jesus, break my heart for what breaks yours. What breaks Jesus' heart today? Do you know? The Bible says, I have come to seek the lost I have come to give life to which is dead. He has come for Victor when he was lost. When he was lost, Jesus' heart breaks. His heart bleeds for the lost people. And that's what we begin in our prayer. Lord Jesus, break my heart for what breaks yours. Let me be a blessing to others as you have blessed me, as you found me, as you rescued me, as you gave me life. Use me, make me a blessing to the people that you are reaching out to. Begin with prayer. L stands for what? Lesson. Lesson. People have stories to tell. Your friends, they will listen to you, and you listen to your friends, right? Let me take you Acts chapter 17. The Apostle Paul is in the city of Athens, and here's what we read in the story. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus, Areopagus, and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship. And this is what I'm going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands." What was Paul doing? He was listening to the yearnings of the Athenians. Your friends have aspirations. Your friends have fears. Your friends ask these big questions in life. Where do I come from? What am I doing here? And where am I going? How do I overcome my fears? How do I address my concerns? How do I find the answers to all my aspirations? And that's what Paul is doing. And he was doing that by listening to their needs and to their questions. So we listen to the story of our friends, of our family, of our colleagues. Because when you listen, you are showing care. You actually care as their friends. B, begin with prayer. L, listen. Letter E stands for eat. Acts chapter 11. Here's what the story says. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." He was being accused because he went and ate with the people that he wasn't supposed to. People of different sort, different folk, different social status, and different religious status. And God revealed to Peter, simply saying, "Hey, I made all people equal. Just because one is a Jew and the other is a Gentile, it does not mean God shows favoritism. God wants all people to come to Jesus, regardless of race, regardless of gender, regardless of social status, and regardless of any barriers. Come to Jesus. All are welcome." And one of the best expressions of that welcome and inclusiveness is eating together. Jesus ate with the people that he loved and for which he was criticized. So we eat together. And when we eat together with our friends, what does that do? They feel blessed with our invitation, with our hospitality, with our welcome. Begin with prayer, listen, eat, and S, serve. We show Jesus with our generosity, with our time and talents. And here's what we read in Acts chapter 2. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Jesus came to serve us. And I quote, in the words of Jesus, "I have come not to be served, but to serve and give myself as a ransom to many." And since we are blessed by Christ coming and serving us, now we want to be a blessing to others. How? By serving them, meeting their needs with our possessions, with our finances, with our time, with our talents. We share what we have. We share with each what we can. We share because we love them and we want to be a blessing to them. B-L-E-S, and the last S is story. We get to tell them not only Jesus' story, but our story. Let me read Acts chapter 26, verse 15 and 16. This is the Apostle Paul sharing, telling his story. Then I asked, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," the Lord replied. "Now get up and stand on your feet. I have prepared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me." The Apostle Paul, for the rest of his life, he went around telling them his story, how he met Jesus and what kind of person he was before he met Jesus, and after meeting with Jesus, what changed his life since meeting Jesus. That Christ is alive and he has given him hope, future. In the words of the book of Jeremiah, "Thus saith the Lord, I have a plan for you, plan to prosper you, not to harm you, a plan to give you hope and a future." And the Apostle Paul went around for the rest of his life every day sharing his story, because as he shared his story and the story of Jesus, he was blessing his hearers. He was blessing the recipients of his story. Here's my prayer and my hope. After today, even though we are concluding the message series, I pray to the Lord that you will not say, "Okay, been there and done that." This is not a conclusion of a message, but this is rather a continuation of a lifestyle. Let me repeat that. Jesus wants you to live out this lifestyle as your value, as your celebration, as your joy, by blessing them. Why? Because you are blessed. You are so blessed. In the words of Jesus, he says to you and me, "Do not be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word." Some of you are saying, "Oh, I've heard this, I know this, and I want something new." And yet Jesus says to you, my dear friends, he says to you, "Do not simply be hearers of God's word, which will leave you immature and conceited, but instead become what? Become doers of God's word." It is when you act out what you hear Jesus saying to you that you become mature, that you are more blessed, that you thrive, not only strive, but you thrive and become a blessing to others. Let me offer just three encouragements because they helped me personally. Are you ready? So here's the first encouragement for you to be a blessing to others. Number one, write these words: rely on the Holy Spirit. Rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. The whole story of the book of Acts begins in chapter 1, in which Jesus says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." I'll be honest with you, I get discouraged, I get tired, I get disenfranchised. And each time, the Holy Spirit says, "Victor, don't rely on yourself. Don't rely on your own power. Rely on me. I have the power of the universe. I have the power of the Lord. And it is infinite. Don't you dare, Victor, rely on your power." And when I receive that challenge and encouragement, guess what? I become blessed. And when I am blessed, I get to be a blessing to others. So receive encouragement by relying on the power of the Holy Spirit. Second encouragement. Don't try to convert to your friends. Just bless them. That's right. Do not try to convert them. Do not try to persuade them. Simply bless them. The job of the converting anyone belongs to the Holy Spirit. So let me just remove all the pressure and all the things that make you feel, I can't do this. It's not your responsibility. It's not yours to convert anyone, nor mine. But we get to bless them. Just focus on blessing them. A team was sent to Thailand. There were actually two teams. First team was sent, and their mandate, mission was to convert people of Thailand, to become Christians. The second team was sent, whose mission and mandate were, don't try to convert them, just bless them. How? Pray for them, listen to them, eat with them, serve them, and share your story, right? And guess what happened after 2 years? The first group, the first team, who was supposed to convert people, guess how many conversions they had produced? Only one in 2 years. The second team, who was told, don't convert anyone, bless them, guess how many people came to Jesus? 48. Imagine that. Why is that so? And that's because people are blessed when you bless them through these acronyms. So let's remove all the pressure. Let's remove all the angst, but simply focus on blessing them. You want to bless them. I know you do. I know I do. So that's the second encouragement. And the last, the third encouragement is this. Just be faithful to the Lord Jesus. When you get discouraged because people don't respond to you, when you bless them, they say, no thank you. When you bless them, when you pray for them, nothing happens. Don't focus on the result. Don't focus on their responses. You simply focus on the fact that you are blessing Jesus. Yes! Yes! The most important person you are blessing is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. You are blessing Him. You are worshiping Him. And you are thanking Him. How? By remaining faithful to Him. Let me give you this encouragement. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I come to this passage, this promise, very, very often, very frequently. And because I find myself discouraged. And the Holy Spirit says, Victor, stand firm. Stand firm. Stand firm. On what? On the foundation of blessing the Lord Jesus. You just remain faithful to Him. And number two, let nothing move you. Don't people's reactions or lack of response distract you, discourage you. Don't be concerned about anything else. Focus on remaining faithful to Jesus Christ. Let nothing move you. And third, give always, always yourself fully, wholly to the work of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because your labor is not in vain. Your labor in the Lord is never in vain. The Holy Spirit will receive whatever you give Him in your acts of blessing your friends. And He will turn them into something profound, something supernatural, something eternal and infinite. Remember, your labor in the Lord is never, never in vain. Remaining faithful to Jesus Christ is your number one blessing. But when that discourages you because of lack of responses, you just remember this. The Holy Spirit will bring something into fruition. Your labor is not in vain. I want to end with this, something that really encouraged me. Some time ago, we had a baptism here at Mosaic House Church, and one of our Mosaic Housers, a congregant, she invited her family, and her family member invited her boyfriend, who is agnostic, atheist. I like to use the word seeker. He may not know it, but Jesus is reaching out to him. Jesus is speaking to him. Jesus is calling him. Now, so this person, this guest, joined Mosaic House Church via live stream. And this is what he wrote, what he said in his text to his girlfriend. And let me read it to you. And he wrote, "After watching the live stream of the baptism at Mosaic House Church, I thought I could learn something from this church, provided that it was welcoming of him as an unbeliever, as a seeker. You see, he was afraid that he wouldn't be welcomed or accepted in the door of the church unless he is already one of us. The encouragement is that there are many out there ready and waiting for that invitation. We just need to be welcoming and be open and remain non-judgmental so that when they receive the gospel, they feel blessed." This text meant so much to me because I was going through a discouraging time. And the Holy Spirit said, "See, Victor, you just remain faithful to him. You're faithful to Jesus, that is. And he will do the rest." Imagine, friends, if you and I, if we simply gave our time and made ourselves available, and the Holy Spirit does something supernatural so that this person who is like your friend or friends, the people that I love who are far from Christ, and they find their way to Jesus and they're blessed because you are praying for them. You are blessing them. Imagine for a moment what we can do in the power of the Holy Spirit in Edmonton and beyond. Pray with me. Holy Spirit, we may be the only Bible people read. We may be the only Jesus people may see. We certainly are Acts chapter 29. You are finishing the story of the book of Acts, and we get to be part in it. Oh, Holy Spirit, it is my prayer that my name and the names of my friends who are listening to receiving these words of encouragement and blessing, may their names be in Acts chapter 29, not to our glory, for the blessing of our friends. May it be so. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Friends, let's stand together and sing the song response.